We have author Sarah Newman to talk about her book, Unmaking Waste. Hi, Sarah. How are you doing?
Great. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. If you were to sort of introduce yourself to our listeners, go ahead. What would you say is your background and who are you?
Yeah, so I'm an archaeologist and I focus mostly on the ancient Maya. So I work primarily in Mexico and Guatemala. And then I'm also a professor at the University of Chicago.
And what about your interest in waste? Where's that come from?
Yeah, so I mean, that comes from my archaeological work. And I mean, one of the things that I noticed kind of right away working on ancient Maya sites is that there are all of these different kinds of archaeological deposits that don't quite fit into the expectations that we usually have for, you know, what's a meaningful deposit, like a ritual or a burial, and what's something that we would just consider trash. And so I kind of started thinking about how we come up with those categories and how far we can really take them back into the past and whether they even existed for people many, many centuries ago in different times and places.
That's so crazy. It's completely mad. What sort of items were you picking up that triggered this thought process? Can you give us some examples?
So some of the ones that that I write about in the book in particular, and that I've written some other academic articles about, are these ritual deposits that tend to happen at very important moments in the Maya calendar. So the ancient Maya, I think, are kind of famous for having kept both a solar calendar and a ritual calendar, and the days where those intersect are very meaningful. And especially kind of when the year turns over or when big periods of time turn over, those are very both important and sometimes kind of they can be a little bit kind of scary, those moments, you know, that there's things that humans have to do to make sure that those calendars keep kind of turning over and that the world keeps going.
Right.
And so there are these archaeological deposits, these rituals that people performed in the past that have to do with kind of ensuring that that time continues. And the thing is that to an archaeologist, a lot of the time, you know, these involve kind of a mix of different materials. So animal bones, sometimes precious stones, ceramic pots, sometimes human remains, they're all mixed together. And they're often found in kind of places that you wouldn't expect this stuff that looks like trash to be. So some of the examples that I've found in my own work are in palaces or elite residences. And so archaeologists have kind of struggled for a long time to kind of figure out, you know, what are these exactly? Why do people choose the materials that they choose for these kinds of rituals? And so one of the things that I talk about in the book is that part of our difficulty, I think, with these deposits is that we sort of think, you know, things that are ritual and that are sacred are supposed to be kind of pure in some way, and trash is something that's just kind of everyday and impure. And it's very hard for kind of a modern archaeologist to put those two together. But that wasn't necessarily the case for people in the past.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And do you feel with that sort of difference on emphasis on what meaning you give to things, to objects, that changes a modern day relationship with what we now call trash?
That's what I'm hoping. I mean, one of the things that I kind of argue for in the book is that I'm trying to show that there are many different ways that people have thought about trash. So there's these kind of very different ancient Maya ideas, but then I also look at how those ideas changed over time, Spanish colonialism in the Americas, and some of the ideas that were kind of coming into being in the 16th century in Spain, and how those then were brought over to the Americas, and then kind of what happened to produce new ideas when these two different cultures came into contact, or many different cultures actually came into contact. And so one of the things that I hope kind of comes out of that is that a lot of people are familiar with the idea that one person's trash is another person's treasure, or, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But then at the same time, I think we often have kind of a taken for granted idea of what trash is, or that, you know, something has one function, you buy it, you use it, you throw it away. And what I'm trying to show in the book is that those ideas are actually pretty recent. You know, it's only a couple of hundred years that we've thought this way about objects, and that there's many other possibilities that many different people have had. And maybe one of the things that could help in coming up with different solutions to the current crisis that we face with waste is not just thinking about, okay, what do we need to do with the trash that we're making, but is there a way to sort of undo the thinking about things as trash? You know, could we think differently about objects so that we wouldn't actually be producing so much waste in the first place, rather than thinking about how do we manage the waste that we can't help but produce?
I think one of the first things that came to mind when I read about the title of your book was the images that we've all seen of these clothes mountains that you get, or fields of used tyres, and they honestly go on for miles. It's mind-blowing. If anyone's listening to this, just wants to get out Google and sort of, I don't know, Google tyre fields or land waste deposits or something like that, it's mammoth. And do you think that the sheer quantity of what modern people throw away as waste, do you think that actually could be changed? Do you feel any hope or any positivity about how we can approach these sorts of objects?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that there's possibilities for changing some of that. And I think that actually kind of taking a long-term view, you know, and thinking about how things have been different in the past can give us some ideas for how to do that in the future, you know. And part of the problem with these mountains of materials that you're talking about, you know, are these like great Pacific garbage patches where you have plastic kind of turning into the size of a continent in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. I mean, a lot of those things have to do with the fact that in the past, 50 to 100 years that we've generated all of these new materials without necessarily understanding what happens to those materials over the very long term. And so I think in some ways, archaeology gives us a way to think about, you know, what happens to objects, not just over decades or not just over centuries, but over thousands of years. And that, you know, when we see kind of what's left from the past and the way that it is still kind of part of the world that we live in, I think we get a better sense of how that's been changed very rapidly in the past century or so. And that maybe that offers some opportunities for thinking about, okay, there are ways to either shift back to some other kind of material, or to think differently about, you know, how to reuse things in a way that isn't necessarily kind of just thinking about, you know, this object is meant for this purpose. It can only be reused for the same kind of purpose, rather than thinking more broadly as people still do in a lot of places, but also have in the past as well.
Totally. And in your work as an archaeologist, when you're sort of excavating these sites, is there ever any judgment on your part? So are you looking at some of these things and seeing like a really valuable jewel and thinking, man, you should have handed this on to your offspring, or, you know, thinking perhaps it's not actually that environmentally friendly to just bury this object with your dead person? That's probably not the best thing that you can do with these still perfectly functionable items.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that's funny is not so much that you necessarily feel kind of judgment for the past, but it does kind of make you realize about your own assumptions, you know, that there are things that obviously I consider valuable that somebody in the past did not, or there's things that I don't consider valuable that obviously someone in the past did, or there's ways of, you know, treating the dead or of maintaining buildings or just different things that you sort of, sort of being face to face, kind of confronted with that kind of stuff, you do kind of realize that the way that you have been trained to think about things is very specific and very much kind of just a product of, you know, when and where you're born and things like that.
I love that, actually. That is really interesting, you know, especially if you think of like a jewel. It is just a piece of rock. At the end of the day, why has our society decided that piece of rock is so valuable, whereas another piece of rock can just stay there in its mountain? Listen, Sarah, I have got the most important question of the day for you right now. In lots of the writings around your book, we've talked about garbage and waste and trash. Do you ever say rubbish?
I So, I mean, I'm American, so we don't use that term as much. But in the book, I do just for variety. So it's in there.
Fantastic. I'm so glad you managed to sneak that word in there, because that is my regular go-to word when I'm talking about things that I'm throwing out. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us.